today as we come to the table.
They say, I believe, and then they receive the Holy Spirit and they're born again. You say, what's changed? What's changed? Can't go back now and make that. It's already happened. You were simply standing there, sitting there, receiving, not doing any special good work. You just heard, you believed, and now why do you feel there's something you can do to add to that? Again, you and I have had nothing to do with our salvation other than believe. And so to start trying now is crazy. That's his point. And notice this, he really nails it home in verse 3. Again, using that same theme of that rebuke of foolishness, he says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you now going to be made perfect in the flesh?
Maybe you've been in Christ for a while now and you've started to look for more responsibility. Maybe you've been doing more at the church, spending more time in the Bible, and that's great. But we can't let ourselves forget who gave us the grace to do all these great things, or who gave us the desire to do them. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table, the daily Bible study program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. In today's message, Pastor Mark reminds us how little we had to do with getting to where we are today. He reminds us that it's all the grace of God, and that without His initiation and ability to accomplish these deeds, we are nothing. In Him, we live, breathe, and have our being. Thank you, Jesus, for all that you've done. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Galatians, chapter 3, with today's edition of Come to the Table.
One commentator put it this way. He said, well, this bewitching indicates, among other things, a harmful magic exercised with no particular technique. That is, they're just using whatever they can. That somehow you're being pulled into this and you don't even recognize it. You don't even know how it's happening. And Paul's point is, how could you fall for this? The only thing I can explain, Paul would say, is that somebody put a spell on you. You've got a spell on you. Now, he doesn't mean they've got a real witchcraft spell. He's making a point. It's like that. He's like, snap out of it, you know? This whole thing, I don't know whether or not hypnotism is real. You see these people hypnotized and they say bark and they bark and do all that. I don't know about that. But either way, I clap, you're going to come, you know, they come out of it. You know, it's like, I'm not a monkey or whatever. I don't know. But the bottom line is, it's like Paul saying, snap out of it. Wake up, you've been hypnotized. Somebody cast a spell on you. And yet there's so many people today still within the church act this way. They still think they've got to earn something. And maybe you're one of them. Again, my heart is to so discourage you in your efforts that you'll just let it go. I want you to try to shovel some snow in a road that can't be covered. I want you to try to put buckets of water in the ocean when it's empty, trying to fill it up. That's my goal. Because if I can frustrate you enough in your efforts, you're going to start loving life. You're going to start enjoying Jesus, and you're going to walk in freedom. And you say, but if I do that, I'll never be motivated. Will I ever serve? That mean we're not supposed to serve? Does that mean we don't heed the word of God? No, what happens is your motivation now comes out of love and amazement. You're motivated from love and amazement. It's like, you know, when I gave my life to the Lord, it wasn't like showing up at the church going, I've got to be here because I better do some stuff to make God happy, even though I had some things that had to be readjusted when I got saved. My life was so dark when I got saved. I was so thankful. It depends on where you came from and your salvation experience. But if you were in total darkness like me when you got saved, the light was so amazing. The hope was so wonderful. The joy was so real. Nobody had to say, you know, you really need to, if you're going to please God, you need to be in fellowship and you need to be serving. You couldn't keep me away. You couldn't keep me from church. You couldn't keep me from serving. But I wasn't in church and serving because I thought, well, I better please God now. I loved him and he loved me and we loved each other. It's a relationship. Again, think about when you first met your bride or your husband. And I know we go through different moods and different changes and time and feelings. And all. I get all that. But go back to when you first met your spouse. Nobody said to you, look, I know you think this girl's beautiful and she's a real knockout to you. She's all you can think about. You need to call her. Encourage second. Number two, here's your counseling. Number two, talk to her some. You need to talk to her. Nobody had to tell me that with Tracy. Nobody had to tell me to talk to her. Nobody had to tell me to call her. I used to walk around the neighborhood. You guys know we were little kids. She knows it now. She knew it then. But I'd walk around the neighborhood and just look at her house. I'd look at her window and say, she's in there. Well, she didn't know all this, man. She probably today would be, creeper! He's a stalker! Yes, but I'll be a pastor one day. Trust me. I was peeking in her windows. Don't get the wrong picture, okay? I would just walk by and go, there she is. She didn't like me at first. We won't get into that. But anyway, I kept creeping long enough where she finally opened the door up. But he says here, look, you've seen Jesus clearly portrayed. Notice that he says this, Jesus Christ was clearly portrayed among you as crucified. He said, who's taking that away? I love this wording here for clearly portrayed, because what it describes is, it describes to post something, like to post something else. Say we talk about it online, you posted something. It's the same thing. They didn't have, you know, internet back then, but it was the idea of putting it up on a billboard, putting it up for everyone to see. And what Paul said, I came to Galatia and I put it on a billboard. I put it on billboards all over the Galatia region. Jesus Christ crucified, him alone. You believed, you received, you were born again. And now these guys show up and tear all the billboards down and say, nope, all that's wrong. Let's start over. He goes, what is wrong with you guys? You know what's true. Why are you reverting back? You clearly saw this. You know that it wasn't through the law. And so again, you can't go back to that. Now, again, we need to give this balance. And what do I mean by that? This doesn't mean that we don't use the Word of God as a guide for our life. It doesn't mean that we don't ask God to make us holy and try to walk with the Lord. I'm not saying put your Bible away. Your Bible is your guide. It shows you how God wants you to live. But there's a different way to serve the Lord and follow the Bible and seek Him when it's motivated out of love and a response as compared to, I better do this or I'm in trouble. You see the difference? And so they were trying to say, you better do this or you're in trouble. No, don't talk about doing this or you're in trouble. It's a response to what He's done. And wanting, and just because you love Him, not because you're earning something, but because again, you want to be close to Him. And look at verse 2, he says, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? What a great question. And quite honestly, this question should just seal it for everybody. If you just stop and think about this question for a moment and you're thinking there's something you have to do to earn your way to God or please Him or whatever the case might be, go to church this many times or do this that many times or do whatever, this should set you free. And why do I say that? Because what Paul is saying is, and again, note this tone of parental rebuke here when he says, you know, this only I want to learn from you. Did you receive it by the works of faith or by hearing? He's like, you're so smart, then answer me this. He says, the very question here, it shows the foolishness and error of what they're doing. It's a very logical question that asks a hard to avoid answer, basically. And that is, notice he says, did you receive the gift of the Spirit in your life with Jesus by going to get it and obeying rules and trying to do nice things, so to speak, or by the outpouring of the Spirit? Think about that. Again, the answer is found in the question. The fact that the Holy Spirit was simply given to them when they believed demonstrates that they had no part in this whatsoever other than receiving it, showing the foolishness of thinking they earned it somehow and went out to get it. And again, as I said, this question should answer it for all of us. Again, earthly things can be earned. Spiritual things can't be earned. It's something that happens when you believe. Now, let me ask you this question. Because there may be some of you in the same place the Galatians were in. You've gotten saved. You knew that it was through Jesus. And then some people came along and said, okay, you've given your life to the Lord. Now here's what you need to do. And started loading you down with all these burdensome things that have made you anxious and made you worried and made you... And you're going, how do I resolve all this? Here's the bottom line. When you received Jesus, were you working for Him? Were you doing good works at the church? Were you doing good works in the community? Were you spending time in the Word and prayer? Again, maybe some of you came from a religious background where you were doing some of that religiously, but for most of us, we were living like the world in the world. And somebody came up to us and said, you need Jesus. It's like, oh, you can tell, you know. Well, what do I do? And they tell you, and then God works in your heart, and eventually you give your life to the Lord. When you gave your life to the Lord, you just believed, and suddenly you were born again. So now that that's happened, you're going to go back and now go before you gave your life to the Lord and earn your way back up to what's already happened? Do you see the logical argument here? It's done. You can't now start over and try to earn it. It's finished. Now you simply love and you receive. Follow the Spirit of God. Be free. It's something that just happens. What you're hearing predominantly in this region were the Gentiles. Galatia was a Gentile region. They'd not grown up with the Bible or what we would call Christian homes. Their experience with Jesus had just been hearing Paul preach the gospel and then a sudden outpouring of the Holy Spirit unto salvation. And Paul's reminding them of how their life with God started, and it only magnifies that it was totally a supernatural work they had nothing to do with. It didn't come by rules. It didn't come by regulation. They didn't go first and get circumcised and then start obeying the law and then start going to temple or synagogue, and then suddenly the Holy Spirit fell on them. They were just living their life in sin, and Paul shows up and said, did you know that someone died on the cross for you, that your sins could be forgiven? His name is Jesus. Well, tell us about him and what happened. And then they say, I believe, and then they receive the Holy Spirit and they're born again. He's saying, what's changed? What's changed? You can't go back now and make that. It's already happened. You were simply standing there, sitting there, receiving, not doing any special good work. You just heard, you believed, and now why do you feel there's something you can do to add to that? Again, you and I have had nothing to do with our salvation other than believe. And so to start trying now is crazy. That's his point. And notice this, he really nails it home in verse 3. Again, he's using that same theme of that rebuke of foolishness. He says, are you so foolish? Having begun in the spirit, are you now going to be made perfect in the flesh? See, God started this thing. You're going to somehow finish it? Again, a very logical argument. If God began our entire spiritual journey by awakening us and filling us with the Holy Spirit, are we now going to finish it and make it complete by our personal efforts? And notice he said, not in your earthly efforts, but by your earthly efforts are you going to be made complete. That is, you didn't make it happen. Jesus did. So you're not going to be able to add anything to it. Let me put it another way. If a billionaire felt moved to build you a multi-million dollar home on the beach, then introduce me to them. No, that's not my illustration. Let me get back to this. If a billionaire felt moved to build you a multi-million dollar home on the beach, and they wanted to do it as a gift, they knew you didn't have the money for something so far beyond your means, it can't be done. And they say, I'm going to, and they lay the foundation, and you're like, okay, great, what an amazing foundation. I've got it from here. You've got it from here. Yeah, I'll do the rest. I really appreciate all your help. This has been so great. There's a great foundation here, but I can do the rest. With what? And it's going to sit there forever and never get done. One day, maybe I don't know. No, you won't. Jesus is the foundation, and the Lord is now building in your life, piece by piece, stone by stone, board by board, building you into the person that he wants you to be, more and more like Jesus, until you enter the kingdom of God and you'll be like the Lord, it says. You won't be God. He alone is God, but you'll be like him in the sense of his purity and his holiness. You can't finish it. It's the same thing as us saying to that billionaire, I'll take it from here. It's impossible. It can't be done. The billionaire started the project, and if it's ever going to get finished, the billionaire is going to have to finish it. Again, the word perfect here means to complete it, which means if someone with greater resources and ability started it for you, then it's going to take them to complete it. That's Paul's point here. Someone greater than you'll ever be or ever be able to be started this, and now they're going to have to finish it. And you've got to somehow learn to relax. You need to stop running to get buckets of water to fill up the ocean. Stop trying to do that. It's not going to work. Just relax and enjoy the ocean. The Lord says, I'll fill it up. I'll maintain it. I'll do this. Why are you so foolish? And yet, sadly, many in the church today try to do this. We do it on an individual basis. And you'll see churches sometimes try to do this. God will make a great move in his spirit, and they try to add to it and do all these things, whether it's programs or whatever it might be, to add to the Holy Spirit. Look, there's nothing wrong in different ministries that spring out from the work of the Holy Spirit. But it's not the programs and the things that the church does. It's what the Holy Spirit does and our response to that to let God work through us. That's why, you know, if God moves in something and we feel it's God and it's going for a while, it begins to die, then, you know, let it die. If it's not going anymore, then God's not in it. You know, just let it go. Find out what the Holy Spirit is doing and jump on board with that. Not the methods, not the programs, the things that are oftentimes implemented to try to create life when it's God that gives life. Again, it's not wrong to have fun activities. I want to give balance on that as well. It's not wrong to have, you know, get a couple of lights on stage and do this. It's not wrong having fun in that. But the lights on the stage or a well, you know, practiced worship team or, you know, a well-polished pastor, which you'll probably never have until I'm dead. But the bottom line is, no matter how things are put together and how well it is, that doesn't create life. That's not the Spirit. That's just man. What you're hoping is the Spirit's moving through the worship team. What you need is the Spirit moving through your pastor. What you need is the Spirit moving through you. What you need is the Spirit moving through your church so that it's something that God does and you simply respond to it. And that's what Paul's trying to say here. He's saying, you're not going to be perfect in the flesh. You're not going to make this happen. God started it and God's going to have to finish it. And look at he says in verse 4, have you suffered so many things in vain? If indeed it was in vain. In other words, choosing to follow Jesus in this day was not easy. The persecution was great, and only those who were serious about Jesus would even claim to be a Christian. Now, today, a lot of people say they're a Christian because still in the South, it may get you some benefits. It may get you a better job. It may get you whatever, this kind of thing. It's only the South. I know that's not true in other areas. You didn't do that back then, not in the Middle East. If you were a Christian, you were persecuted, sometimes just emotionally, physically, psychologically, sometimes, you know, even put to death. I mean, you realize when I'm making this profession of faith, this might be the end of me. Something you knew. And so again, what he's saying to them is, why did you suffer all the verbal, social, emotional, physical things if you're now just going to say that none of it mattered, the cross didn't really do it, I'm going to go back to the law. See, if they went back to the law, they wouldn't suffer the persecution. Why? The Jews and Judaism was accepted in the Roman society in that day. They didn't necessarily like it, but they didn't necessarily persecute them. They kind of left them alone. Those crazy Jews, let them do their own thing. Leave them alone. They would die for it. We're not going to kill them. Just leave them alone. Christians were new. They were now separate. They weren't a part of the Jewish community, and they weren't a part of the Roman community or the Gentile community. So all you had was, here we are, and everybody's looking at you going, what do you think you're doing? Oh, all the rest of us are going to hell. You guys have the answer. The persecution began. And so he's saying, you suffered all that just to say now, you know, nah, never mind. Doesn't matter anymore. I mean, it'd be like, you know, traveling somewhere as a missionary and being beaten for your faith and abused for your faith and tortured for your faith and then coming home and saying, you know what? I don't think I want to be a Christian anymore. What? Then why did you go and suffer all that if you're just going to walk away from Christ? Paul's making the point. Was it useless? Was it wasted? You're going to go back to the law and say, forget the cross because it doesn't work? He's telling them if they leave the work of the Holy Spirit and try to finish it themselves, and all the suffering and sacrificing and persecution for Jesus would be in vain and count for nothing for them because they've fallen from grace, which would not only be sad and disappointing while here on the earth, much more so when we stand before the Lord. Can you imagine? And so my heart again today is stop shoveling snow. You can't do it. I heard another great illustration that I want to use as we kind of wrap this up and then pray here in just a moment. But it would be like getting on an airplane and you're on the plane and they're starting to have, you know, they're concerned about the plane, maybe some people on the plane, maybe the whoever, whatever. And all of a sudden they come over the last week, okay, look, we're a little concerned about the fuel level or maybe some noise we're in the air. I want everybody to flap their arms as hard as they can because we got to get this thing to the ground. So just begin and you guys do it first. If y'all get tired, we'll move to this side. Everybody keep flapping their arms. We got to get this thing to where it's going to land. You sit there and look at each other, we're all going to die. That's what you'd be thinking. Fully flap your arms. What are you talking about? And if you saw people start doing it, they just start smacking each other, knocking each other's head around. You'd be like, is that not what happens to the believer that tries to live by the law? They start smacking everybody around them. They're flapping their arms. Look how I'm living. Look, you, shame on you. And they're judging everybody because they haven't learned to say, look, you're not flying this plane. You're not the pilot of this thing. Jesus Christ is the pilot. He's the one that took this plane off. He's the one that got me on this plane. And he's the one that's going to take me to my safe destination. I have to flap my wings, arms. I don't have wings. You get the point. And when you get around those that are following the law, that's all they do is beat up other Christians. Their arms are flailing and they're beating other Christians. Guys, listen. Relax, drop the shovel, drop the bucket, stop flapping your arms, and just say, you know what, Lord? I really can't do this at all. It is absolutely impossible. I agree. Yes, I kind of thought that I was able to do this, and so I was really trying, but I can't. That's freedom. If you realize that and you let it go, you're going to be free, and you're going to have joy because you know what happens when you fail? Yep, I failed, and I don't like that, but I know I'm still his kid. I know he still loves me. And I know I'm trying to earn anything. I just want to learn more like him. But you're not defeated when you fail. You have an understanding. Okay, I can't do this. But then you go to the Lord. I need you to help me do this. I don't want to be this way anymore. Please change me. And as you begin to seek him and begin to love him and begin just to be with him in a relational way rather than a religious way, in a just response rather than a works or law way, you're free and you can rest. And that's my heart, guys. Let it go. Don't hang on to it. And I want to do one last thing. And I'm one of those. I can't say I've ever, never done it because I don't remember, but I'm going to end with something I can't remember ever doing. I'm not one of those repeat after me pastors, but I'm going to say something out loud today because this was in my heart today, and I think it's the Lord. You know, when we give an opportunity for people to give their life to the Lord, oftentimes I'll say, look, raise your hand, just raise it up, put it down, that kind of thing, because I believe it's not so we can count them and go, whatever. I think there's a release that comes with that. There's something, when we do something physically to say, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus, whether it's walking down front, raising a hand, whatever the case might be, it releases our faith. It helps us to finally make that step. Well, I believe the same thing can be true when it comes to believing what the Word of God says and just verbalizing what it is that God's trying to put in our hearts. And I believe what God overall, in looking at these verses 1-5, if I could sum it up, besides being free, it would be this other statement, I can't do it. I can't do it. So I'm going to ask us all to say together, and you don't have to, and if you think we're weird, you don't have to come back. But I'm going to have us all say all together, I want you to verbalize that. I can't do it, because some of you think you can, and you're still trying, and I want you to rest. Let it go. Stop worrying about how much time you're in the Word, how much time in prayer. Did you serve enough? I failed against. Let it go. He knows that we're going to fail. He knows our weaknesses. He's paid for it all. I'm not excusing that. We don't just let ourselves go because now we know he's taking care of it. No, we seek the Lord and say, God, help me to be more like you. But we don't sweat it. We turn it over to him. And so I want us all to say this together. I'm going to count to three. I can't do it. One, two, three. I can't do it. Just for my sake, one more time. Ready? One, two, three. I can't do it. But Jesus can. Let's pray. Lord, we can't do it. We give up. Our arms are raised. What a beautiful picture of praise. Our arms are raised. We give up and give it all to you because we can't do it. It's impossible. You alone can make anyone righteous. You alone have paved the way to heaven. You alone are good. There's none good but you. You said so yourself. There's no good, no, not one, the Bible says. Let us stop tricking ourselves and deceiving ourselves into thinking that we're good enough to walk a certain way and maybe even trying to be better than others and not even realizing it. But Lord, just letting go and saying, you know what? I just want to be your kid. I'm going to drop the shovel. I can't cover that road. It's the whole county. I'm going to drop the bucket. I can't fill up the ocean. Just make a muddy spot and get it all over myself. I can't keep the plane up by flapping my arms. I'm just going to be smacking the people around me. Nope. I'm just going to sit back and enjoy the ride and realize that you're the one that picked me up. You're the one flying me where I'm going, and you're the one that's going to set me down safely. And I pray that along the ride, you'll make me more like Jesus. And I pray along the ride, you'll make us all more like Jesus. That's our prayer, Lord. We want to be like you. We want to know you. God, minister to those that have been trying to do it and they're so discouraged. Help them to rest and just to let you, Lord, take care of it. For all the believers in here, if that's you, then just pour your heart out to the Lord. Tell them, I mean, just picture yourself dropping the bucket, you know, dropping the shovel, sitting back, enjoying the ride. God will be faithful. Again, if there's some of you that maybe for the first time the Lord has said to you, you know what? You need Jesus. Then it's as simple as believing what the Bible says, that Jesus died for you on a cross, God in human form. And through his blood on that cross, he paid for all sin and your sin, if you'll accept it. You have to accept it, but you have to tell him, I accept it and I repent. You have to turn from your sin. And here's a prayer I give. You want to pray this, you know where you are right now. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. If you know that and don't know him, pray that right now. I know that I'm a sinner, and I believe that you died for my sins. On the cross, you spilled your blood for me. There's nothing I can do to earn it, and there's nothing I need to do after this to make it work. I just enjoy the ride. I give my life to you, Lord, and I thank you for dying for me. Father, help us to be free. I know that our lives are going to have trials and stress and all these things. Lord, we're not immune from that. And there's, I'm sure, no doubt, many in the room going through that right now. But Lord, we can still have the joy of the Lord, knowing that we have our place in heaven and knowing, Lord, that you did it all. Now all we have to do is trust in you. So Lord, we put our trust in you and we thank you for the work of your Spirit. Make us free. Let us live free and joy-filled lives in Jesus. And we thank you, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you guys.
And just like that, another episode of Come to the Table is ending. But you don't have to wait until next time to listen to more great Bible stories. You can access this series plus much more at thewaymedia.net. Feel free to share these messages with anyone who wants to know more about what the Bible has to say about this subject and so much more. The book of Galatians has so many practical applications to daily life inside and outside the church today. When you hear your pastor talking about legalism, he's teaching from this text. When there's a political unbalance between church and state, the Church of Galatia is the biblical foothold for how God's church should conduct itself under such pressure. Never let it be said that the lessons in the Bible don't apply to the modern day. They are as real now as they were then. Do you live in the Knoxville area? If so, we invite you to join Pastor Mark and our church family at Calvary Knoxville for our next service. For over 20 years, it's been incredible to see how God has used us in our local community and through this radio outreach. There's always a seat for you. Sunday mornings at 9:30 or 11:15, Saturday night at 6, or Wednesday night at 7. Can't make it in person? No worries. You can join us online. We stream our services through the Way Media app that you can download from your app store or right from the waymedia.net. You can scroll to the bottom of the waymedia.net for a link to our church info too. Pastor Mark has much more to share from the book of Galatians, so we hope you can join us next time on Come to the Table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.